And today is Wednesday, November 25th, 8th day of the month of Kislev. This is the Women's Chumash here. We're up to Parshat Ha'azinu Dvarim Lamed Bet.
Okay, Rabotai. Rabotai. We are up to Parshat Ha'azinu, Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Gimel. We started this last week. I want to give you another perspective, as well as take a peek at an incredible statement that the Chizkuni makes, and to interpret that Chizkuni for you. Okay. We had already set the stage as to what's going to unfold in Ha'azinu, and Psukim Aleph, Bet, and Gimel, according to almost everybody, are setting the stage for Moshe's attack against Am Yisrael. The stage was set by summoning Shemayim and Eretz as the two witnesses. The stage was set by producing the document, the affidavit, which will list for you the charges against you, and that's the symbolic imagery of Pasuk Bet, referring to Torah, Matar, Likhi, and so on and so forth. And then, a third statement which completes this unit, that when you mention God's name, or study His Torah, you must offer praise, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Elohim. And we had mentioned that the Ramban claims that this is the Pasuk, which teaches us that there is a biblical obligation to recite Birchot HaTorah when you read Psukim of the Torah. Just to complete this, and then again, see, Chizkuni claims that the Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Eloheinu is not referring to us when we declare God's name, but it's referring to going back to Psukim, to Pasuk Aleph. It's referring to Shemayim and Eretz. Shemayim and Eretz. And if you look at the Chizkuni, which I distributed to you, I actually bracketed something, because that's the next thing I want to talk about. But if you look at the top where it says Chizkuni on the right-hand side, I will tell you what he said the first line on the other page, because I had mercy on another tree, because I would have to cut down another tree to photostat that other page. He says as follows. There are many who believe that nature sings praises to God. David HaMelech says this 50,000 times in our davening. He writes, and Chizkuni quotes the pasuk, Yehaleluhu Shamayim Va'aretz. Let heaven and earth praise you. It says in Tehillim, we say it every Shabbat morning, Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod El. Now, as a rationalist such as Rambam, he chooses to interpret this pasuk literally. Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod El. The heaven, celestial bodies, speak the praises of God. Sing the praises of God. How they do that, it's a little different. There are various theories. But the Kishem Hashem Ekra is now referring to whom? Shemayim and Eretz. I summoned Shemayim and Eretz as my witnesses. They are now going to what? Offer tribute unto God. Havu, now that I've summoned you to witnesses, and I call upon you to what? To testify in defense of God, attacking Am Yisrael, once I charge you to what? To act in defense of God, Havu Godel Eloheinu, you are now called upon to offer praise unto God. Says Chizkuni, the Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Eloheinu, is not when we offer praise to God in response to hearing His name. It's Shamayim and Eretz. referring to hearing God's name, hearing God's decree, hearing God's command, and responding by offering praise to God. How do Shumayim and Aretz praise God? It's a little difficult to explain, but I'll give you an imagery which those of you who come to the Gemara Shir on Monday nights know there is an imagery of Shemayim and Eretz singing praise. We know that on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, the Torah tells us in Vayikra chapter 23, verse 41, Ulekachtem lachem pri eitz hadar, kapot marim anaf eitzo, to take the arba minim. Good. According to the technical law, as soon as you pick it up, you've already fulfilled your mitzvah. Let's just pick it up for a tenth of a second. The rabbis have said, picking it up is not enough, but what must you do? You must make na'anuim, right? You make it this way, this way, this way, this way, up and down, if you're an Ashkenaz. Sephardim have a different sequence. And the bracha, even though each one is one of the four minim, right? We don't say al netilat etrog. We don't say al netilat hadas, al netilat lulav. Why al netilat lulav? Because only the lulav participates in the following pasuk of Tehillim. We say it every morning. Oz yiraninu atzei hayar. An etrog is not an eitz hayar. A hadas and an arava is an eitz hayar. But when you shake it, it doesn't make any noise. You can't hear them singing unto God. But when you shake that lulav, what happens to the leaves? What? They shake. You hear the noise when you, right? They whistle, exactly, correctly. It's the music of nature singing unto God. That's correct. That's the way the Gemara explains it. So Chizkuni believes that when Moshe summons Shemayim Ve'eretz, they are going to sing the praises of God. How do we hear the sounds of nature singing the praises of God? So Tzipor Kanaf, when you hear the bird whistling, he's singing the praise of God. When you hear the lulav shaking, you hear that. When you feel the rays of sun, the powerful rays warming your body, that's the sun giving us, it's giving its praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So all I'm saying is that this is again perceiving Pasuk Gimel as the close of Aleph Bet and Gimel. But the focus here is not on humankind, but rather on nature responding to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, offering praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's hard to understand what it means that nature sings praises, but if you want to know, ask Maimonides how he understood it. He said, HaShamayim Misaprim Kvod El is to be understood literally, not figuratively. Which the way we would understand it, figuratively. That's point number one. Point number two, Chizkuni cites a Targum Yerushalmi. And I'm going to read it with you. You're going to think it's cute, but I'm going to give you some philosophical perspective to understand and appreciate his remark. I bracketed it for you. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Everybody have it? Kishem Hashem Ekra. Miturgam b'targum Yerushalmi. There are many Tirgumim. All of our Chumash print Targum Unkelus. Some Chumashim print Yonatan ben Uziel, another Tirgum. There is a third Tirgum, there are many Tirgum, called Targum Yerushalmi. It's printed in several editions of the Chumash. Miturgam b'targum Yerushalmi. Amar Moshe Nevi'ah. Moshe the prophet said, Vai lechon rishiaya, woe is unto those wicked people, demit karin shmei dekutcha, who mention God's name, Arum let efshar l'chad min malachei miroma l'mitkar shma miparsha mifresha ad zman d'inun amrin kadosh 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 plus zimri. Woe is going to be to the people who are wicked, rishaim, rishiaya, who don't follow the example of the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven also sing praise of God. What we imitate, right? We say, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Kishem shemakdishim oto bishmei marom. Just as they say, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu, chapter 6, that the angels, vikara ze el ze ve omar, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They did not mention God's name, until they said kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. They didn't mention his name. Woe unto those people who don't follow the practice of the angels and say God's name without imitating the angels of delaying the recitation of God's name. So hold on a second. Don't get all crazy yet. Do me a favor. Count the number of words from the word ha'azinu hashamayim until the word kishem adonai ekra. Do me a favor. Count the number. I said initially it's going to sound a little silly, but I'm going to explain the idea. Aleph and Bet. I'm counting for pasuk all the words in Aleph and Bet. Good. And then, no. 1 second. And then the first two words of what? Of before you have the word Hashem.
21.
You have 21. 19 words in Psukim Aleph and Bet, right? And Kishem is 21. Very nice. Says Chizkuni, I want you to count, when we say Kadosh Kadosh, start with Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. Okay? Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. Kishem Shemakdishim Oto Bishmei Marom, that's 9, right? Kakatuv al yad nevi'echa v'kara ze el ze ve'omar 19? What? 18. Kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. 21 words before what? Basha. Right. Then there's a further, there is another one. Another one he says, I'm just telling you, on Shabbos, apparently, it's funny. Chizkuni during the week apparently davened Pesach Ashkenaz, and he said Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam. On Shabbos he seemed to have davened Pesach Sfard, and he writes, "How many? I'm not going to make you do this. You're going to have to trust him." And I counted it to make sure. There are 58 letters from the word Ha'azinu until the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Until after Kishem, it's 21 words and 58 letters. In the introduction to Kedusha on Shabbos, if you daven Nesach Sfard, not Kedishach, v'na'aritzach, not Nikadesh Shimcha Ba'olam, so if you remember your Nesach Sfard days, many of you grew up, not Kedishach, v'na'aritzach, v'na'am tziach sov, tzafri kodesh, it's exactly 58 letters. Until the word Hashem Tzva'ot. Says Chizkuni, quoting Targum Yerushalmi, Moshe, by arranging these psukim, not to utter God's word, Hashem, until he has had 21 words and 58 letters lapse, is now emulating which example? Angels in heaven. Because they also don't come to the word what? Hashem, until Nikadesh Kishem Shemakdishim Oto Bishmei Marom. Very nice. Very nice. woe is unto a person, says the Yerushalmi, you are the Rasha if you don't follow this pattern of mentioning God's name without following the pattern directed by the angels.
In every instance?
I'm going to explain. He says this in this, and he gives this example of Kiddusha. He even says it works for Musaf too. And Musaf on Shabbos, what do you say? Again, this is not only Nusaf Svard. Anybody remember what the Kiddusha of Musaf on Yantav Shabbos and Yantav is for Nusaf Svard? Keseh. Oh, Keseh Yitnu Lecha. That's why there are some people who can't daven in Ashkenaz Shul on Rosh Hashanah or on Yom Kippur. Because you daven, you say the Musaf Shmona, you say all four for Shabbos, Musaf Mincha, and they can't not say Keser Yitnu Lecha. I will proclaim for you a crown. I love saying those four words. Keser Yitnu Lecha. It's exactly 58 letters, once again, until Kadosh Kadosh. It's got to be. It's exactly 58 letters. It's exactly 21 words. So it's hard to understand, is there any significance to it? That's what he tells us. Let me explain what he has in mind. Let me explain what he has in mind. One of the most essential elements of Ra'ayonot, philosophy of prayer, is contained in this little mystical idea. We take prayer for granted. That any time you and me want to daven, we can avekshtel and daven, and that's it. Rabbi Yishlan's ready to listen. Philosophically speaking, you have to ask yourself a very simple question. Where does man get a right to speak to the King of Kings any time during the day? I think I once played that little game with you. What game am I referring to? I want you to call up Rothman right now. Right now. His office is in Hackensack. Call him right now and tell him, I want to speak to my congressman, Mr. Rothman. Right now. I do this in class all the time. I tell the kid, take out his cell phone. I give him his number, 646-something, the Hackensack number. And of course, he gets a machine. At best, the secretary. I want to speak to Rothman right now. He's not available right now. Oh, you can't speak to your local congressman when you want to speak to him. Oh, you can't speak to the governor either. You can call up Corzine's office. I guarantee you won't get him on the phone right now. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Melech Malchei HaMelachim, you can call him anytime you want. Where does man have a right to assume I have the right to petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Furthermore, what danger does a human being confront by praising the good Lord before you begin your litany, your laundry list of requests for good intelligence, for good health, for redemption, for parnassah, for rebuilding of Yerushalayim? What do we do? You don't just come in and say, here's my laundry list. You offer praise.
Right.
What danger does a human being express or encounter when he begins to say praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How can you stop? You can't stop. Because the minute you stop saying praise, you generate impression, it's the only thing that there is to say about the Rabbi Nishorayim. So Shlomo HaMelech understood very well, we say it whenever we would say Anim Zmirot, if you remember in your young Israel days, you'll remember, Mi Yimalel Givurot Hashem, who will now have the audacity to speak about the Givurot, the greatness of God? Yashmia Kol Tehilato. Say everything. Kol Tehilato. But the minute you stop, you frame that the only positive praise that I can think about the Melech Mache is what I said. I have nothing else to say. So, if that would be the case, man should never pray. Never pray. And that's why Shlomo as well says that the best prayer is absolute silence. Lecha dumiya tehila. Remember those three words. Lecha dumiya. Mazeh dumiya dom. Silence. Vayidom laharom. Aaron was silent when his two boys died. Lecha dumiya tehila. Lecha tehila. The best praise is dumiya. Quiet. Don't say anything. Acknowledge that you can't do the job. But on the one hand, on the other hand, we have this need to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to ask Him for certain things. We must be in contact with Him. And therefore we know that we dare not unless we say certain things. So we are faced with this constant battle. On the one hand, we want to praise, we have to praise, we have to speak to Him. On the other hand, we dare not. So what do? We only praise God when there is an existing model for us to praise God. And our attempt is simply emulating somebody else who did it. Somebody else, it's not my initiative, don't blame me, don't come attacking me. Somebody else already set the pattern for this. And I'll give you an illustration. An illustration. Again, I'm taking time to develop this because I want you to understand this chizkuni. It has nothing to do with the pshat and the pasuk. Nothing. Nothing. I'll give you an illustration. How many brachot are there in the Shemoneh Esrei every day? Forget about the added one. It's called Shemoneh Esrei. The Gemara says, why are there 18 brachot in Shemoneh Esrei? The Gemara asks this. Because the word Hashem appears in Psalm 29 18 times. Psalm 29 is Mizmor LeDavid, Havul Hashem B'nei Elim, Havul Hashem Kavod Ve'oz, Kol Hashem Bakoach, Kol Hashem Behadar. Because it says 18 times there, that's why the rabbis made Shemoneh Esrei 18. Then they ask, why is the Rosh Hashanah davening 9? 9 brachot. 9 brachot. And they answer, because Chana, in her prayer to God, which is recited as the Haftarah, thanking God for having a child, uses God's name 9 times. 9 times in Tfilat Chana. Now I'm going to give you a little illustration to show you how seriously we take this. I know, how many brachot are there in every davening of Yontif and Shabbos? How many are there? You know how many there are. Every single Shabbos and Yontif, how many brachot are there in the Shemoneh Esrei? Without fail, Shabbos, Mincha, Musaf, Maariv, everyone. How many?
Seven.
The three at the beginning, Avot, Givurot, Kiddushat Hashem. The three at the end, always the same, let's say. Then there's one brach in the middle, which is called Kiddushat Hayom. Mekadesh HaShabbat. Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom HaZikaron for Rosh Hashanah, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom for Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yisrael v'yom HaKippurim for Yom Kippur. It's always the same. The only exception is Rosh Hashanah for Musaf. Where, and now I'm going to ask the count from Sesame Street to come in. There are 7, and then you're supposed to add 3 additional brachot. 3 additional brachot. What are the names of the 3 brachot which we had? Malkuyot, Zichronot and Shofrot. So now count how many brachas should have been in Shemoneh Esrei and Rosh Hashanah?
10.
But there are only 9. And there is a 3-way debate in the Mishnah how to combine one of them with the existing 7. How to combine one of them with the existing 7. So if you combine one of the additional 3 with the existing 7, what's your bottom line? 9. Why couldn't they make 10? Does it bother anybody who said 10 brachot? Because there was no model in Tanakh where somebody prayed and mentioned God 10 times. There was only a model in Tanakh where somebody offered prayer and mentioned God 9 times. So who cares? Because we are afraid to formulate prayer to God. We're intimidated. We know that unless there is a model, we should not be saying anything. That is why our tefillot, every single time, start Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. Because I can't answer the question which I asked you first. Where do I have a right to pray to God? I don't know. What's the answer? Abe did it, Ike did it, and Yankala did it. You ask them. You ask them. Don't ask me. But I approach you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, based on the fact that I already have a model. I already have a model. Otherwise, there is a reluctance on man's part to engage in praising the Holy One, blessed be He. Praying to God. Because we cannot answer the philosophical question, where do I get a right? And secondly, I run into the pitfall of the danger that I will do an inadequate job of describing the greatness of God. That's the idea that Chizkuni is trying to communicate. It's not being cutesy, that there are 21 words and 58 letters, and then he used the words God's name. No. Who cares about that? It means, and that's what it means, Moshe said, you're a Russia. What do you mean you're a Russia? Anybody who will now try to mention the Holy One's name without following the pattern, you are considered, it's a harsh word, but you will be asked a question for which you will have no answer. So how did what did I do? I followed the little lessons of the angels. And they did not say the word God's name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, until 21 words, 58 letters of test. And I did the same thing in my Shirat Ha'azinu. I said, Ha'azinu Hashamayim Vadabera, I did not mention the Holy One's name until word number 22. Tishe. Why? Because as much as you and me are going to struggle with this dilemma, I, Moshe Rabbeinu, struggled as well. As close as I was to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I still struggle with that. I still struggle with that. And that's why Chizkuni spends so much time on this business that there are 21 words and 58 letters until he said the name of God, emulating the pattern of behavior of the angels in heaven. Nikadesh Shimcha Til Kadosh Kadosh Kadosh. Exactly 21 words, 58 letters. And now I say Adonai Tzvaot Melech Ha'aretz Kodesh.
55 or 50?
50. What?
Here it says
page. Excuse me, what is it? What does it say here?
Pay
85, excuse me. Pay hay is 85, excuse me. 85 letters, not 50. Good. That's, yes, question.
But still, if I see the holy one, you see a flower, a fruit tree, you see a rainbow, we don't do the
holy. Okay, I understand. So it means we never go ahead and do things unless somebody has told us to do it. So the bracha on nature, the Gemara will find a parallel for somebody,
every bracha?
Every bracha. We don't initiate this, and that's what I said. Conceptually, that's the lesson he is trying to refer to. Let me invite.
Deduced from
according to the Targum, yes. Chizkuni is quoting this Targum, it was verbatim from the Targum. And I said, it sounds a little silly, I tried to give you some philosophical meaning as to what the Yerushalmi, what the Targum and the Chizkuni is trying to teach us.
So when
yes.
It,
That's what you just asked me, Rachel. There everybody's going to find something for which the Chachamim based this bracha on. They found something. Trust me.
So it is a bracha for Israel.
There is no bracha for Israel. Is it tefillah?
Well,
Baruch, there's no bracha.
That's what I mean, but it's a tefillah. That we can do?
Okay, so that's a question which we generally ask. Why do we... there happen to be some people, yes, that will be one of the arguments against saying that tefillah l'shlom amdina. Most people, that's not the argument they use. But that's what some will say. Well, we're adding your own tefillah? What, are you crazy?
But you can insert in Shemona Esrei also your own tefillah.
Correct, but it's within the Mizgeret of Shema Koleinu. That's the only place. I'm going to invite Pasuk Dalet. There is an alternative perspective to Pasuk Gimel that it's not concluding Aleph and Beth, but it's introducing Gimel. It's introducing Dalet, Hay, and Vav. I'll read Dalet, and then we'll reread how Gimel might serve the introduction to it. On the back, I have photostatus for you, Siduk Hadin. I photostatted for you Tziduk Hadin, that which is recited at the cemetery right after you bury somebody before the recitation of the Kaddish. And I will show you how this paragraph follows Rashi's understanding of the phrase which we're going to read right now. There are five or six different interpretations. Our development of this tefillah, called tefillah Tziduk Hadin, is formulated based on Rashi's understanding. Let's read the text. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as the rock. Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. His work is complete. I'm translating it rather literally. Hello? Yeah, can I call you right back? Okay, thank you. Hatsur Tamim Polo. Kichol Derachav Mishpat. All of the ways of God are just. El Emunah. He is a faithful God. Ve'en Avel. He has no incorrectness or injustice to him.
Iniquity.
Tzadik V'yasharhu. So I say, let's read Rashi. He will offer one perspective as to what this pasuk is talking about. Says Rashi, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo. Moshe is about to describe several events which have led to punishment of Am Yisrael. Rather harsh punishment, as we will see. Not only exile, we've already read in Parshat Ki Tavoh, not just exile, but terrible, terrible punishment of Am Yisrael. The worst possible description human beings can imagine. You're so hungry that you eat your children's flesh. You're so hungry that you eat your children's flesh. Says Rashi. Afal pi shehu chazak. Even though God is the Tzur, powerful one, Kishimevi Puranut, when he decides that he has to punish Al Ovrei Ritzono on those people who transgress his will, Lo Bishetef Humevi, Lo Bishetef Humevi, Maza Shetef, with a flow, not with a force of anger, Kiyim B'Din. It's a calculated sense of justice of justice. Ki tamim pa'alo. God is tamim. And he never would punish out of a sense of what? Vengeance. Anger. Frustration. Because sometimes when you react as a result of anger, vengeance, and frustration, the response is more than what? than the original catalyst. Exactly. Than the original catalyst. Than the original accusation. You are so angry, you lose sense and control of how you respond. We've heard terrible things, you know. You watch television, the news, you know, you hear that with parents. Oh, the kid was crying all night, and I whipped him, I put him to the bathtub, the hot bathtub, I threw him in. What kind of stupidity is that? So, Hatzur, Rashi separates the word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is considered Tzur, the powerful one, and is in the capacity, has the ability, and does administer serious punishment. But I want you to know that when he administers punishment, tamim, pa'alo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a tam, tamim pa'alo. What is a tam? Simple, perfectly innocent. He never overreacts. El emunah. God is considered a God, a trustworthy God, says Rashi. L'shalem l'tzadikim tzidkatam le'olam haba. Yes, God punishes in this world. You see it every day of the year. But you don't always see the reward for those people who what? Who are faithful. You don't see it. So the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu, El Emunah. God can be trusted to do what? To do what? To pay those who deserve to be paid. When? Le'olam haba. Fa'af alpi shemi'acheret tigmulam. Even though he is delaying their reward, promise sofo le'amein et dvarav. I promise you that he will what? He will validate his word. He will remain truthful to his promise. But it requires faith on our part as well. It's the El Emunah. El, God, has the capacity, and Emunah, Amen, in this case, can mean two things. It's number one, that God will fulfill his word. He will fulfill his word, but it demands upon us as well some degree of faith that he will fulfill his word. Because you can go an entire lifetime and never see it. And never see it. Just give me one second. Ve'ein avel, and God has no wrong. Af lirisha'im mishalem sechar tzidkatan ba'olam hazeh. God does not forget to reward a rasha for any good deed he or she may have performed in this world. But he has chosen to reward them in this world. Tzadik v'yasharu. How does Rashi interpret this? Tzadik. Hakol matzdikim alehem etino. Tzadik, says Rashi, is not an adjective describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadik means we are matzdik. We justify and accept that which he has done unto us. Etino. Zekach ra'ui v'yashar lehem. And it's appropriate and the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Tzadik mipi abriot, from the words, the human being will now justify God. V'yasharhu ra'ui lahatziko. And it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do to acknowledge when something terrible happens to you that he did it, and he did it out of a sense of fairness, not anger. That's how Rashi interprets this. Please take a look at the Siddur Kadin, flip side of the page. Flip side of the page. Look at the first line. It's exactly our pasuk. You stand at the cemetery, you just buried a relative, they fill up the kever, and before the Kaddish, you say, Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo, Ki Chol D'Rachav Mishpat. Ela emuna ve'ein aver, tzadik v'yashar hu. And then, go a couple of lines later. A couple lines, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The fifth paragraph. Tzadik ata Adonai, lehamit ulahafyot. God, I acknowledge your right to take life and to provide life. Asher biyadcha pikdon kol ruchot. In your hands is entrusted every human creature. Chalila lecha zichroneinu limchot.
The first
word.
What? The only
confrontational
words that I see.
Exactly. Chalila lecha zichroneinu limchot. I understand that what? I understand that you're punishing. Somebody is in the grave. But you dare not forget what? His memory. Zichroneinu limchot. What is that predicated on? Which part of the pasuk? Which part of the pasuk? El emunah. What did you say? What did you promise him when this guy was Shomer Shabbos, kept kashrus, put on tefillin, did gemilas chesed? You promised him zechar. Therefore, chalila lecha zichroneinu limchot. Now that he's dead, you can't forget about him. You have no right to forget about him. Now comes payback time, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Now comes payback time, Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And then over and over and over again, over and over, about four paragraphs later, the third from the bottom, Yadanu Adonai ki tzedek mishpatecha. I know that your decision was the right one. Titzdak b'davrecha v'tzizkeh b'shavtecha. Ve'ein leharher achar midat shavtecha. Mazalehar. I cannot, what? Question. I can't question your sense of justice. Sadik ata Adonai v'yashar mishpatecha. Your decision at this moment to take this life was the right one. I may not understand it, but I acknowledge that at least within your system of values, I proclaim that I acknowledge that it was done right. Dayan emet, shofet tzedek v'emet, baruch dayan ha'emet, shekol mishpatav tzedek v'emet. So this sidu kadin, which is recited every single time somebody passes away at the cemetery, right before the declaration of the kaddish, and now you'll understand what the kaddish is all about. Kaddish, Rabotai, is not a tefillah for the deceased. The kaddish says, after I, what? I've been hurt. I now acknowledge that that there is very good cause for what this happened, and I am willing to proclaim your kingdom in this world, even as I stand there burying my father and my mother. Even if it's it. So the Kaddish simply is a declaration, Yitgadal v'yitgadal shemei rabba, that the survivors are willing to go on and proclaim the greatness of God, that he doesn't punish out of a sense of anger and vengeance. It's done with a sense of recognition of tzedek and mishpat, and I am acknowledging that at this particular second, during the most terrible time in my life. And that's all the Kaddish is. That's all it is.
Why do you say it so much?
Because we hope that as the person who is the Aver causes others to declare Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach, in effect we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the credit for having caused Shane Shamayim to be praised, credit that to the deceased and not to me. That's the idea of the mourner saying the kaddish.
It's not that we need a longer time to sort of agree with the idea that this is...
That's correct. Since the judgment in heaven, we believe, is maximum of one... I can't have any evidence because I haven't been in hell yet. Mm-hmm. Oh, yet. But we believe that the maximum hell sentence is only 1 year. Shouldn't say it too loud because some guys will say it's worth it. Trade a year of hell for a lifetime of pleasure. But the maximum is here. That's why we say Kaddish only 11 months.
Right, nobody,
he might be bad, but a child should never say, my mother and father were the most evil people and deserve the stiffest condemnation for 12 months. We stop at 11 months. But the purpose of the Kaddish then falls on the heels of what? Of my acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did the right thing, and I'm willing to proclaim your kingdom even under these difficult circumstances. And the pasuk which we introduce it is the entire pasuk. That's what we say, Hatsura Tamim Polo. It follows Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk. We will see two or three other interpretations, and the whole Tzidah Katin would make no sense whatsoever, none whatsoever, according to the other interpretations of the pasuk. But here, the formulators of the Tzilah have decided to select this pasuk because it fits in beautifully with Rashi's interpretation of the pasuk. Yes?
Right.
That Tzadik and Rasha. So we are in effect saying almost that. I am willing to acknowledge that there was reason to die. But you can't forget there was reason that he was good too.
So it allows us as human beings to, in a sense,
you have the right.
Right. But it's predicated upon, correct. But it's predicated on the El Amunah. You promised them reward, and therefore you cannot forget.
Right.
You dare not forget about that. They have to go to Gan Eden. You promised them their reward. You're the El Amunah.
Right.
You are the... Yes.
Aside from that, I noticed that also, but we were talking about Sur, and you're saying that to punish is done with restraint or whatever.
Right.
And you also have the word Sur used. It's not just a rock, it's a flint that's used as a knife. Tzipora took a tzor to...
Tzor, right? Batikach tzipora tzor biyada, right?
So it is using violence to actually heal in a way.
Ooh, very nice. Very poetic. Write it down. Excellent. Very good. Very good. Excellent. Excellent. So that's how, yeah. That's how Rashi interprets this particular pasuk. Others, as I said, I'll give you just a glimpse. Ibn Ezra says that Tzur, in this case, is a description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not that he uses his might, that just as a stone... What imagery do we have about stone in terms of how long it survives? Forever, exactly. Some people think, God is going to forget about this. He's going to forget about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is defined as a tzur because he is always going to hold you accountable. There is never a time in history where he will be inclined or not in a position to evaluate and to judge. So it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu not necessarily exercising his strength, his power to punish, but it's somehow giving us a reflection in our mind that during the course of anybody's lifetime, in any period of history, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always ready to go ahead and take for account what's happening here. What's happening? On the other hand, Chizkuni claims that Hatsur Tamim Pa'alo goes back to Shamayim and Aretz. And he says as follows. God, when he when we engage in creativity, how does God, how do we create, when we build a house, can it take place in an instant, in a flash, beginning to end? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tzur, tamim pa'alo. How's it pa'alo, literally pa'alo? His efforts, his work. His is tamim. In the same second when he begins it, it's already done. Says Chizkuni, the tzur tamim pa'alo is now a reference back to what? To Shamayim Ba'aretz, which I identified in Pasuk Aleph. I am summoning Shamayim and Eretz to be my witnesses because they personify, typify what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of doing. Someone, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is capable of what? Of creation and the totality, whatever he chooses to be, Po'el, is tamim, instantly.
Perfect the first time.
Perfect and complete the first time. Complete.
So that's why the Shemayim and the Aretz have to sing the praises of the Kadosh.
Correct. Precisely. He keeps going back to that thought. And in that respect, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzur. No other person can be called the Tzur because no other person has that capacity to be Tamim Pa'alo. Can be tamim pa'alo. So according to Chizkuni, this phrase is not at all talking about punishment of Am Yisrael and that we should recognize it, at least not yet. It's simply a continuation of that which I described in Aleph. Hazino HaShemayim Baruch, Halalu Shmei HaShemayim, and I'm going to tell you why. Because they are going to continue to testify on my behalf that God is unique in so much as the fact that Pa'alav are tamim. Beginning to end, created in an instant from the very first second he created, that very second it was completed. We'll see how the Pasuk unfolds and what message Chizkuni claims the Pasuk is trying to transmit. We'll continue with this. Not next Shavuot. There will be no share next week. I'm going to be in Israel for